Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Enfuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hello.
The show's namesake, BJ Shea, is on assignment. Because I don't know what he's doing. But running the boards is Joey Dees.
Hi.
On today's show, we will talk with Gareth von Kallenbach from Skewed and Reviewed about all sorts of fun geeky stuff. We will also geek out about Falcon and the Winter Soldier. We've got that more. And, of course, the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com. It's going to have our blogs, podcasts, and more. Or just search for us, BJ Shea's Geek Nation, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, or the new Odyssey app.
Yeah, lots of ways to get a hold of us, and most of those ways have a way to give a review. So give us those 5 stars and give us some texts and tell us why you love us, because that'll be fun. I love that sort of thing. What are the big things? Quick news items. We talked recently about the new Magic the Gathering expansion called Strixhaven, School of Mages, where you get to go and be Harry Potter and pick your own school. Well, I mean, Magic Harry Potter. And be able to pick whichever school that you want. We've gone across all of those in a previous episode, but as of now, it's available on MTG Arena. There's a little bit of a downtime, so hopefully you're able to hold that off and wait to play your magical games and experience some of all of that.
Download it on your phone. Oh, get it everywhere now.
That's right. It's for the iOS now, so good luck with all of your free time.
Become addicted to casting magical spells.
I know that, Joe, you're going to be playing in some of the events is online on MTG Arena.
Tonight, as a matter of fact.
Really?
I will be playing many a drafts.
So after, we'll kind of get a rundown next week on how you feel about the set, how it drafts, and maybe some tips and tricks.
Will I be an apprentice or a master?
Well, I feel that you've already kind of hit that sort of master level there.
You could tell by my big wizard hat, couldn't you?
Absolutely. Moving on from that, let's talk with our good friend, Mr. Gareth von Kallenbach, because we do have some very interesting news. Gareth von Kallenbach joins us from Skewed and Reviewed, that is SKNR.net. We've got all sorts of news about stuff like E3 and the film industry, but we got to start off with some breaking news that you just found out about. Who's going to be joining what now?
Well, apparently, according to reports, Mads Mikkelsen will be joining the new Indiana Jones film, currently known as Indiana Jones 5, in an undisclosed role. Ooh. And this has been, you know, ramping up because they announced casting about a week ago, said it's still on pace for summer of next year. So it sounds to me like they're getting ready to be filming really soon.
And going just along the lines of the type of characters he's played in the past, usually it's a villain, and with Indiana Jones and all of that, I might be assuming he might be kind of in a Nazi role, but, I mean, we don't know yet.
No, we don't. Could be Russians, too. We don't know what the time frame of this one is. This could be in the 50s. It could be in the 60s.
Oh, you're right,
70s, you know, who knows? It'd be very interesting to see how it plays out.
Absolutely. Very excited to hear all about that, and we'll be getting more information as it comes along. Now, going back to, we talked about E3 a little bit previously, and we've got a little bit more news about one of the companies that is going to be there, because they have confirmed this.
Correct. E3 has started up with all of their planning, and they made the announcement they're going to be having things for the press before the actual dates of the show, but Ubisoft, who had already been announced as taking part in the show, announced today that their Ubisoft Forward, which is their essentially showcase that they have done, has going to be folded in as part of the E3 2021 show. So they announced that Ubisoft Forward will take place at noon Pacific on June 12th. So,
oh, good.
Kind of gives you an idea that maybe some of the companies who did their own thing last year are going to be doing that and folding it back into the show and, you know, having more. And, of course, what we're going to see, who knows? I mean, I would assume Far Cry 6 is probably a safe bet. But, of course, there's all the speculation, you know, Beyond Good and Evil 2, stuff we don't know about, DLC for existing games, new announcements. That's what makes it all fun. You don't quite know what you're going to get.
Exactly. So it'll be fun to see where it's going with that. And yeah, Ubisoft did get previously announced, but just the fact that there's more information coming out is very exciting. And then finally now, kind of with the meat and potatoes, what's going on with this. The Hollywood and the whole industry, I mean, last year really threw everything into a tailspin. And at this point, it seems that, I mean, we don't even know when some of the movies that were slated to come out are even going to be coming out. They've had to keep on pushing movies back and then, setting up new release dates. And that really is affecting film promotions, isn't it?
Correct. And what it is that we now have a much bigger picture of some of the reasoning behind some of these delays. It was always assumed it was pandemic related, which was an excellent reason. And Godzilla vs. Kong was drawing good box office. Some of the other films hasn't. Well, you're seeing kind of contradictory information. You're seeing films like Godzilla vs. Kong do very well. So people are going to look ahead toward Mortal Kombat. They're going to look ahead to things like Cruella and Quiet Place 2, which are scheduled for next month, and see where it's going. Because, as I said, everything seems very contradictory. Pacific and ArcLight Theaters in California had announced the other day that they're closing and they're not coming back. And this is kind of tragic because they also have like a domed Cinerama screen there that's landmark, very nostalgic. And in a recent survey of moviegoers, they found that 60% currently say they are comfortable going to the movies, which was at 52% a month ago. So you can see that there's this whole, okay, what are we going to do? You've seen Universal say, okay, boom, here's Fast and Furious 9, we're pushing that for the summer. You've seen Disney pushing Black Widow for the summer. And then you get news that Tom Cruise pulled Maverick out of Top Gun Maverick out of July 4th to the Thanksgiving weekend, which in turn had a trickle down effect, which moved like the next Mission Impossible film back almost a year, so on and so forth. But then other studios like Universal took the next Purge movie, which is said to be the final one, and said, fine, we'll take that July 4th slot. And then you scratch a little beneath the surface and you get an idea as to what is going on behind this. Now, we've talked about CinemaCon, which is usually in March and April in Las Vegas coming up, and it's going to happen in August. And a lot of people I've talked to said we fully expect it to still happen, barring a real massive downturn in this situation, largely because there's no public. It's the media. It's the studio exhibitors. They need to get together. This is an easy one to say. You got to be masked, vaccinated, or show, a negative test to get in. Any, deviation from wearing your mask, you're out. So people think this is going to happen. And also, this is the time of reconciliation for the studios. We found out that Tom Cruise is actually the one behind the delay of Maverick. And you think, okay, well, that's kind of, why would he do that? And then you find the reasoning, and you're like, well, this makes perfect sense. And in many ways, I applaud him for doing this. It turns out Tom, who is known for his publicity, wanted to do a full-on world tour in advance of the opening. And his mentality was, if we do July 4th, due to the way many countries are with, like Australia, you have to quarantine for 2 weeks, can't go into Canada right now, various places. His thought was, let's push it back until November. That way I can go out and do the proper publicity, and it's not just a bunch of Zoom calls and things like that. I can go in person, do the things the way I used to do them, and promote this film properly because I am, that proud of it. It deserves proper promotion.
And it also makes sense in the terms of you've seen, I don't know if you've seen it, but out there is he's freaked out, to people on set, like the cast, or not the cast, but the crew, about abiding by the pandemic terms. And he kind of takes this whole thing under his own wing. This is his baby. All these Mission Impossible movies really are. So to see him have that level of responsibility putting on himself, it's commendable when it comes down to it.
Exactly. I mean, we talked about how we went nuts on the set because they were one of the first to resume production. And he told them, he said, look, the industry is watching us right now to see if we can do this, do it right, and pull it off. And because of them, all these other shows are in production. And yes, there have been incidents where someone here has tested, someone here has got it, they've had to shut down production for a couple weeks. But by and large, production is going along. And this is where we get back to it now, because the movies that are coming are the big budget films. These are the ones that were coming out last year, not to mention the ones that were already in the can for this year. And so with things like CinemaCon, the audience is starting to say, we're ready to come back, but we're not sure. One of the best ways to do that is to get the people out on the Tonight Shows, out on press tours, and so on and so forth, and not on a Zoom call.
And I think that's what,
you know, the red carpet event, as it were, where they can show up at the premiere to the paparazzi and all of that, and have the, you know, the fighter plane sets outside and really build the hype up. You can't do that on a Zoom call.
No, you cannot. And that's the biggest thing with that is they're trying to go back to, I mean, we're never going to go back, to be perfectly honest, to anything that was quote unquote normal before, but a sense of that. And one of those things, even if everyone's masked up, being having the physical presence of the whole red carpet experience is exciting, and that is what gets people excited. And if it's going, if you're doing this worldwide tour, because a Mission Impossible film is a worldwide event, and that's one of the things you got to look at. It's not an indie film, it's a blockbuster, like you were talking about. So you want to go to every single country it's going to be playing in, so everyone feels like, oh yeah, I need to see this, or else I'm going to be felt, you know, kind of out of the loop when it comes down to it. Gareth von Kallenbach from Skewed and Reviewed, that is SKNR.net. Get information about all sorts of things, be it conventions, movies, comic books, toys, games, hardware, all that stuff. You can find it at Skewed and Reviewed, again, SKNR.net. Thank you, Gareth.
Anytime. Take care.
Thank you so much, Gareth. Again, Gareth von Kallenbach from Skewed and Reviewed. And here's something that is very interesting. As of today, it is episode 5 of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. We are not talking about that, but the interesting point about that is that this will be the penultimate episode. It only runs for 6 episodes.
What?
Yeah. I did not expect that.
I was lied to.
You were lied to.
I was told 8 or 10.
I think I might have told you that.
You were the liar.
Because, yeah, and that was because I just figured that it would be at the very least 8 episodes. And usually these kind of hit the 10 episodes. WandaVision didn't. It got to 9 episodes, but that was because of the pandemic and trying to tape through that. I don't know if Falcon and the Winter Soldier had that issue, or if they were necessarily going to be going across only 6 episodes, and this was the arc, but there's only 2 episodes left.
They are long episodes.
Yes.
And that was another thing, too. Yeah, they're a little bit longer, so that kind of makes sense on that. And it looks like even the Falcon and the Winter Soldier composer, Henry Jackman, says fans, quote, haven't seen half of what goes down as a tease for the final 2 episodes. So these last 2 episodes, things are going to be getting crazy, which after this last one, the final shot of this episode was our good friend John Walker having just apparently decapitated a flag smasher in front of everybody, holding the iconic Captain America shield with
and tainting it.
Almost like it was reminiscent of the comedian's button in Watchmen when you get that blood splatter on it.
Except the comedian, you know, was a jackass from the start.
Well, okay, fair, because this guy's a jackass now.
Yes.
Yeah. But also the big thing with this episode was the fact that John Walker did take the super serum. He kind of had to get a little bit of confirmation from his partner Battlestar, whom didn't make it through this episode.
No.
And was the triggering effect of the said meltdown from this quote unquote Captain America.
He
is Captain America, but he's not my Captain America.
I will say, okay, remember, we're talking about John Walker. We're not talking about the actor Wyatt Russell. So for those who don't know how to separate them, because Wyatt Russell is doing a phenomenal job, and John Walker's a piece of crap.
Absolutely.
that being said, like, just seeing him go from like whiny baby mode. This is a guy who's always been able to be in charge, who's always had everything, like, I don't want to say easy for him, but he's always come out the other side and he's always looked like the hero.
Mm-hmm.
And for him, that whole fight with the Dora, was it Dora or Dona?
The Flag Smasher?
No. The gals from Wakanda.
Oh, yeah. I don't know for sure. It's hard to explain. But there, yeah, the Dora Milaje.
Uh-huh.
I probably mispronounced it.
No,
but
the Dora, like, oh, my God. Yeah, they're phenomenal
yeah,
fighters.
Yeah, the Wakandan Royal Guard, really, essentially, right. When it comes down to it.
And for him, like, that whiny moment where he's like, they didn't even have the super serum.
Yeah.
It's like, you're not as badass as you think. You are never the biggest fish. Like, there's always going to be a bigger fish.
Especially in the MCU, when you're talking about, like, street-level characters, global-level characters, which are what these ones are, and then the cosmic-level characters. Like, there is going to be a disparity between John Walker, the Captain America, and Thanos. Or, like, you know, you're never going to be the most badass person in the room. And
right.
This really showed that it doesn't even take superpowers to be really better than you at that point.
Mm-mm. And it's also a whole... It really shows that it was never so much about like being strong enough to save people. Like, 'cause that's always what people say. It's like, oh, we could have saved a lot of people that day. However, I'm like, is that really the motivation? Like, yeah, you could have, like, 'cause when he was having that conversation with Lamar or Battlestar, mm-hmm. like, hey, you know, our that worst day of our lives. My mind went to something else. There's a chick on TikTok who is a veteran woman of color, and she describes how a lot of the things they have gotten correct mm-hmm. about military and people of color in the military. So my mind just went to that, and I'll talk about that in a sec. But he is just, I've never felt powerless, and I feel powerless. Whole serum thing wasn't because he wanted to protect people. He just wanted to feel powerful again, and he was completely knocked down.
And yeah, he was shut down. Even the Wakandans almost took the shield away. They're like, no, that's his. Like plaything, essentially, at that point. Mm-hmm. This is his toy. Let him keep it. They treated him like a little boy.
But he was acting very condescending and mm-hmm. very just not respectful.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, your pointy sticks, let's put them away. It's like you're being disrespectful and trying to one-up these people.
And what they really just wanted Zemo at that point
right.
in time. And even like they shut down even Bucky by deactivating his arm. Which has, like, divided the internet. Like, people are pissed off about it. And I get the point, too, because...
She was, like, his guardian.
Yeah. And they didn't fully trust Bucky at that point because there was a way to essentially disarm... Well, you know,
okay.
disarm him. All right, yes. Like, they disarmed him, like, in the most...
Both literally.
Yeah. So it was that whole thing where it's, like, they never fully trusted him.
Well,
and that was a betrayal for him.
Mm-hmm. Or it just shows that, like, maybe they didn't have as much confidence in me as I thought. Maybe I could go back as, you know, that moment where they had that flashback in Wakanda where it's like, you're finally free. Side note, his acting, who didn't cry?
Yeah.
But I think for him, it's that constant battle in his head. Like, I'm not that person anymore. But he's had these moments in the series where he... has that second guess himself where, for example, how easily it is for him to go into Winter Soldier mode at the snap of Zemo's fingers. I know it was all for the greater good, but how easy it was and how good it felt. It's much like an addict returning to their old ways. And so
yeah.
to have somebody that was there, your sponsor, if you will, like, you know what, you're good, you're free, you got this, we trust you and everything, that was... You know what? Maybe we didn't 100% trust you, and then he's now thinking maybe I'm not 100% better.
It'll have to be addressed in this episode mm-hmm. and the next one. Go ahead, Joe.
Oh yeah, I thought this episode was great because it kind of furthered the part that I like the most about this series, which is the idea that when you create power, it gets challenged,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of John's whole story arc. He's not necessarily a bad person.
No.
He fights in wars. He follows order. But the second his power gets challenged by something that's greater than him, he faces a decision of whether or not he thinks he's a good person. And
yeah.
he is doing things that he's being told to do. by a government that's trying to protect its people. So it's interesting to see that those dynamics.
But the government didn't tell him to take the serum.
Yeah.
No. But
no,
it
that was a very selfish move.
Well, it is interesting, though, right? Because he's doing it to get Zemo back. It's not like he's doing it to go fight anyone in that scenario. I don't think it's the right thing to do, but it is that same idea.
No, he's doing it because, like, it's one of those, the road to good intent, or the road...
Yeah, the road of good intention, or no, wait, the road to hell
is paved
with
good
intentions.
Oh, I 100% agree. But he's also went out of his way multiple times in the series to try to work with the people who are literally disobeying the government he works for. So it's interesting.
And that's kind of the big difference between Steve Rogers and John Walker, is that John Walker will go with what the government is going for, as opposed to Steve Rogers seeing the difference between the people that he wants to protect and the government, which is usually not aligned with the people, and
because
especially
the
now
government
it's not.
Can be corrupt. You know, we had Hydra.
Yeah.
What's the word? Infiltrate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you can't always 100% trust everyone because we don't know what side they truly are on. He's just a quote unquote good soldier that's just following orders. But what he's not, and this is what Sam is, and this is what I almost said Chris Evans, what Steve Rogers. What Steve Rogers is that they're good men. You can't just follow. It's like you can be a rules lawyer, like, but I'm following the rules, but that doesn't mean you're doing good.
Oh, which is why that whole idea of the bad guys in this series is so important, right? Because they are now killing people for that same reason.
Exactly. And that was another thing, too, that they needed. It's like, oh, remember that these guys, and it was kind of almost even the Killmonger dilemma, where you're like, well, I really do see where he's coming from. You have to put something there. So they literally had to make sure that the Flag Smashers blew up those people who were quote-unquote innocent to kind of prove that point that they're still the bad-ish guys, at least, that they're willing to go to those lengths to do something that they believe in, because you still have to remember, oh, no, these guys are still kind of the bad guys.
And that whole conversation with Sam and the Flag Smasher before, you know, what is it? Store brand Steve...
store brand
Captain America. Wish brand Captain America. comes in. It's just, it really shows how good of a man and a human being Sam really is, how he's able to de-escalate that, how he has compassion and empathy, and he's able to connect to people, which is something Steve was able to do.
Yeah, Steve, or Sam coming from a therapeutic background,
yes.
I think was really key. It does really play to his character well in this series.
And I know that as of right now, episode 5 is out. We haven't seen it, so we're not talking about it. We'll talk about it next week, but it looks like Marvel is once again hyping this episode, saying a major cameo is likely coming to this episode. Now, according to Slash Film sources, the cameo is an existing Marvel Comics character who is played by a well-known performer, but it's not a character that's from the Marvel movies. And they say it's a big Marvel character, and it's a big actor who hasn't been named in the series. So it's someone we didn't know that was going to be in the series and is an award-winning actor/actress.
I want it now.
The speculations
it's not from the movies.
Not from the movies.
So it can be from any of the shows.
Any of the shows.
So I'm thinking, like, my first thought is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but there's nobody, no offense to them. There's not a huge, huge actor on that show that could, like, that really, like, blows everyone away.
And if somebody said, like, Coulson, you would be sort of correct, but he's in the movies. And also, I want
Kingpin.
Right. Oh.
I want Kingpin. What if he's the...
well, then we'll have a lot to talk about Friday.
What's it called?
What if he's the power broker?
That's it.
Oh. I called it if it is. Yeah.
All right.
That was
literally
my first thought.
We're gonna, like,
there's another theory that Sharon Carter's actually the power broker.
And that's what I was thinking towards.
Oh, that could be cool too.
Which would be great, because the whole time she's just like, oh yeah, this power broker is just such a badass. And then she's just like, oh yeah, I just have access to satellites.
No
and
big
stuff.
Deal.
Yeah, this is just a thing that I can do. And you're not the power broker. Like, that was the thing that made the most sense for me. So unless she's the power broker, and then the kingpin's there above higher than that.
I'm gonna add all the speculations. I'm just gonna start throwing crap out.
Oh, here we go. We're back to WandaVision stuff now.
Oh my god, yes. I wanna see what can make it stick. But I'm not sitting here like, this needs to happen, or I'm gonna boycott the show. I'm just like, what if? What if it's Daredevil having to come in and help out Sharon Carter so she can come back to the U.S.?
Oh, interesting. Mm. We'll have to see where it comes. And I mean, after, you know, we get out of here and we go and watch it, we'll probably be tweeting and Facebooking all about it. So,
or at least messaging each other. Oh, my God.
Exactly.
It's like, I love my little brother. So normally when I watch Falcon Winter Soldier, it is Saturday morning right before my little brother wakes up. And usually
Saturday morning, but not cartoons.
Right. It's my Marvel time because the rest of the day is just his cartoons. And yeah. There have been many a times he's come in and I'm partway through the episode. And he's just like, I'm like, no, it's my turn.
No, you yell at him back and do this, and then you go,
And then he gets louder.
Oh, that
he's
doesn't
worse.
Work. Oh, crap.
So I'm watching it. I might have to stay up late and watch it, like, when it drops.
Well, good luck on the morning.
Yeah.
All right. Well, before you get to watching that, we do need to get to
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
What's going on, Vicky?
So a movie actually premiered last week that it's one of those I'm curious about. I kind of want to see it, but also it's like I'm not going to sit down and make it a point to watch it. It's one of those I will watch it when I have nothing else going on and I happen to remember.
All right. What is it?
Thunder Force.
Thunder Force?
It is superhero-esque. Featuring the people you wouldn't expect to be superheroes.
Interesting.
It has Melissa McCarthy and Octavia Spencer.
Oh, I have seen some. I don't know if I saw an ad on one of the streaming services or something. Probably Netflix if it's going to be on Netflix.
Right.
But
On Facebook.
Yeah. And it's like I saw one of them like throwing a car.
So I've seen the trailer on Netflix because it'll pop up once I finish a series, like a background series is what I call it as I do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they were childhood best friends and they reunite. Like Melissa McCarthy seems to have like just had like a weird disheveled life. And Octavia Spencer's character is like, I think, a head of a company or a scientist of a company that is creating superpowers for people. And so while she's visiting her after a long time, no talk, she's like, don't touch anything. And of course she touches things and she gets injected with a superhero serum.
Of course.
Because Melissa McCarthy's character is just an S show. And so she gets super strength. And then Octavia Spencer's character also has, they don't really say how or when, but she also has the power of invisibility.
Oh, cool.
And they attempt to be superhero who's in shenanigans ensue. Like they try to stop a robbery in like at a convenience store. And Octavia Spencer goes uninvisible, comes visible again because she's tasing a guy and she won't stop tasing him. And I can tell because he's always in her movies. That is Melissa McCarthy's husband in real life.
Oh, funny.
Does that mean this is supposed to be more of a comedy then?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it totally sounds like all of that. Because the thing is also, I saw I think I saw one picture and I didn't realize Jason Bateman is in it.
What?
And he goes as the crab. And I literally, it looked like he had crab hand, like crab claws.
What?
For hands. So,
it makes sense.
Yeah.
And Melissa McCarthy have been in a movie and somebody I really like,
right,
both as an actor and as a voice actor, because he's got such a booming voice, is Bobby Cannavale or Cannavale.
Yeah.
If you've never seen him, he's been in a couple episodes of Big Mouth. And he was, I think on an episode, he was a sad clown or one of those clowns in Modern Family, if you remember that episode.
Oh.
But he was like, he's just like this booming, just like, he looks like a very intimidating person, but he plays a character called the King. So he's like the leader of the bad guys who somehow gets superpowers as well. This is a Melissa McCarthy production. Her and her husband, Ben Falcone, who produced it. But Octavia Spencer and her have been best friends for a long time, according to memes and pictures and articles.
Oh, wow.
Like, I think Octavia caught she caught the bouquet at Melissa's wedding. That kind
All
of
right.
thing. So it's kind of cool. Like, you know, when you get two actresses, especially an actress like Octavia Spencer, who has done some crazy dramatic roles, kind of go down, like, I don't want to say dumb it down, but do something completely different.
A lot more fun.
Yes.
And it's also kind of interesting when it comes down to the fact that it's another superhero movie, but again, it's turning it on its head a little bit, having some fun with it, and it's not going to be a grim, dark five people in a Justice League-esque group trying to do whatever.
A couple hours.
We need this in the COVID anyways.
Yeah, you know.
It's getting 25 tomato meter, 23 Ooh. Audience score, so I don't know if this is really meant more for like kids, I guess,
or
teenagers. PG-13.
Well, I mean, like you said, Vicky, maybe this might be one of those ones where you watch it when you've got nothing else to
watch.
That sounds kind of unfortunate.
Crab hands.
Yeah, but if you have seen it, let us know. Tell me how Jason Bateman's crab hands are, and yeah.
Wow. Until next time, guys, stay nerdy.